Hey everyone, and welcome to Signals from the Frontline, your every Thursday recorded podcast brought to you here by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the chief of Serial, and currently hologram broadcasting from an undisclosed location. Nikki Deacon, producer extraordinaire, currently confined to the med bay here on the Aluminum Egret, and I am Seth the Mad Duck, your competitive correspondent. How has everyone been doing?
Guys, I am sorry. I am off site. I'm not in the Aluminum Egret right now. I'm currently staying with mommy and daddy while all my stuff is in boxes as I relocate across the country. It is awkward, and I'm sorry if you hear weird noises in the background, but that is just what we're doing tonight.
Unbeknownst to our listeners, Kicker's already ran around yelling at multiple family members to be like, quiet guys, for the show.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps life entertaining. If you've ever stayed with your parents or your in-laws,
while living out of a suitcase with two small children in the middle of a move,
and a dog, yes, yeah. and I mean, guys, also, like, I love my parents, I really do, but the house is the opposite of baby proof. Like, I don't know what that is. It's just like everything is shiny, and my toddler just wants to find fragile stuff and throw it across the room. So it has been it's been fun. But anyway, guys, I did manage to get some hobby progress. I'm very proud because despite me moving and getting ready with LVO and all these other events, I got some Crute done. GW, you know, wonderfully sent me one of these models a little bit early. Thank you guys very, very much. I do appreciate it. And you can see it. There it is. My beautiful kind of earth toned lone spear for my Crute. He's riding that weird salamander thing. Seth, I know you're, oh, come on. Just get it out of your system, Seth, to say it.
Look, I'm going to admit here, Kicker, that when previously we discussed, should you go with a vibrant scheme or an earth tone scheme, I said go with earth tone. Yeah. And you did. And then I gave you crap for it on our Discord.
You did give me crap. Speaking of our Discord, if you want to give me crap for my paint jobs, or if you just want to talk to us and ask us questions, Seth, where can they find us?
You can look in the show description of this show on the YouTube channel or in the podcast feed that has a link for our Discord. The Discord is actually very active, just community members in general, but also just like folks talking to me about orc lists, folks talking to Kicker about event stuff. There's also head judge Adam Solis in there. So that's a great way a lot of people kind of feeling out, you know, there was a big question this week of like, hey, what's kind of the etiquette with chess clocks? And so, you know, I chimed in and Adam chimed in. So it's kind of a good resource there to just kind of talk to some folks in competitive play and tournament play. And kind of, if you're dabbling with it, a great way to kind of get your feet wet in the community.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. So I did get some hobby progress done. There's my
good job, Kicker.
My lone spear. I got a couple of the Krutox riders, or like the shooty. Yeah. I guess. So I'm happy they're coming along. I finished them here at my parents' house, and my parents are like, ooh, those are kind of cool. They don't understand much about 40K, but they're really like, it looks pretty. Yeah, they're like, it looks pretty. Yeah, I'm like, I guess that's what I do with my free time, is I paint little toy soldiers. But yeah, it's cool stuff. I'm happy to keep the hobby progress going. Seth, though, man, what have you been up to?
Well, I painted 20 boys. Now,
okay, 20, damn, dude.
Well, so it was actually funny. I was in a chat last night and someone was like, you already have 120 boys painted, right? I've played you. You have 120 boys. And I was like, yeah, but I wanted the new sculpts. So I actually went and painted 120 of the new boy sculpts. Or not 120, 20. I do want to do a full 120 of them, just because when I originally painted my boys, I've become a much better painter, so I can do better work with them. And I like the new sculpts better. They're a lot more dynamic in their posing, so I enjoy it. So I did 20 of them so I could have a fresh set of 20 boys for an upcoming team tournament that I'm going to in Valdosta this weekend. It's a 5-man team tournament. I've been getting a lot of practice reps. I think I've gotten, in the last 5 days, probably 4 practice games. And just trying to kind of hammer out the details with my list. The list's locked this weekend, so then it's been going through and kind of getting practice against things that we're seeing in the event that I'm like, oh, I haven't played against that and I might get paired into it. Let's see what that works. So that's been a lot of fun.
Time out. I have to ask you, while we're talking about these miniatures, you are a diehard orc fan. And as anyone that even has been in this hobby for a very minimal amount of time, everyone knows that orc players like kit bashing, conversions, dynamic models, all that fun stuff, options. They like orc players like options. This particular set, lovely sculpts. Yep. Few options. How do you feel
options.
About that?
It was actually like I had ordered a bunch of the kits prior to the release of the codex because I knew like my boys are old, they're beat up. Yeah. I want to paint some new ones. I have old sculpts that are unpainted, but I wanted to get new sculpts. And so I kind of ordered them I knew they were new sculpts. I didn't really think about what the content of the kit was. And yeah, it wasn't until I busted open the kit that I realized it's four Slugga Choppa Boys, or five, no, five Slugga Choppa Boys, a knob, two special, or a special weapon, and three shooters in the squad every time. So you're just like, and they're mono sculpt. So I was thinking the commando kit that came out, it had a bunch of special weapons, but every special weapon guy also had an alternative build as a Slugga Choppa guy. So I was thinking kind of like I had built one of them, the sets, and I was thinking, oh, I bet you I could build the shooter guys as Slugga Choppa guys. And then it was the second time through I was trying to build some that I was like, there are no extra bits. There are no alternative builds. So that was a little disappointing.
But that's the gem, folks, for you at home right there that Seth just gave us for the night, right? You can take your commando kit and give yourself some more options with orcs by using that kit. So, you know, and everyone's got that kit, man. That kit's
I think I have like four sets of that kit. I have way too many commandos.
All right. I know I derailed us. All right.
Besides that, yeah, I've been painting models, building models. I've been prepping for teams. I worked on a new orc video, kind of going through the stats of StatCheck. They just released kind of a new updated stat and kind of how I use that to drive my decision making with list decisions. So kind of going through that kind of stuff. But that's been me, Nikki D. He is quarantined off the Illuminate Me Grip, but he has been doing something in the last few days.
He's in the med bay, I believe, right? He's currently housed in the med bay. Yeah. There's no video feeds in the med bay. You know, we try to respect people's privacy.
Patient privacy, it's
violent and it's gruesome.
We still are making him work, though. Don't get us wrong. Yeah, so we moved his equipment into the med bay for him. It's very true.
His phone into the med bay right now. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a great weekend. Saw not one, but two concerts this past weekend, and actually at the same venue. The first being the band Architects. They're a UK kind of metalcore band, I guess is how I'd call them now. They've been around for a while, but have really only recently blown up. They're a favorite of actually not just mine, but also Anthony Vanilla. And so another, famous 40K player here. And he actually got to go see them later this weekend. But anyway, saw them Friday night, was fantastic show. And then Sunday, I got to see Electric Callboy, who I was introduced to them actually via Matt Morisoli at LVO 2 years ago, because he was wearing an Electric Callboy hat and I had heard of them. We kind of started talking. I think it was after he had finished playing his game on the stream table. So I had a great weekend, but unfortunately was supposed to go to a conference this week up in Baltimore, but was after the shows not really feeling so great. So I'm taking it easy here so that I can be back into good shape so that I can play in an event this weekend upcoming. So I'm doing fine, getting through. Just sometimes needed to take it easy, rest, relax, sip some tea, and just do that. So that's what I've been up to.
All right.
I'm into that.
Well, what's been going on life-wise? I know, Kicker, you're in the process of moving.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's fun. I'm a little stinky nowadays because there's very limited clothes. I guess I'll share it now. I was asked to join a club out of Salt Lake. I'm moving to Salt Lake City, and I was like, wow, I don't really know that many people. I mean, I know some people from my non-40K life that are over there, but I don't really, you know, I want to know the community. I want to be able to find games to pick up. And I was approached by several clubs actually, which was really nice, but I officially have joined Lightly Salted out of Utah. And so I was like, wow, that's really cool. And that community has been very helpful in teaching me how to say things appropriately and where the good groceries are and where I can get Vietnamese food and also offering to help me unpack this next
weekend. That's amazing.
So, yeah. Like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So I'm very, very excited to meet all these folks and when I get up there next week. What about you, Seth? What's going on? Anything on the home front?
I mean, I've been working a lot. My day job's been getting busy, which is good. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want to not be busy, but it's kind of been like weirdly busy, like a bunch of emergencies. And then like, I'll block off time and then things cancel. So then I don't know, so my schedule's kind of all over the place, which has been kind of frustrating, but you know, we're working through that. You do what you can. I've been chopping away. I don't think you were actually on when I was talking about it. You might have been in your move, but I decided to stop using the Juggernaut AI app for my workout, and I just moved over to a spreadsheet system. That has been kicking my butt, which is good. Like, it's supposed to. That's the point. But it's like, I don't know. Like, it's very weird because it's an inverse program. So it's like I'm doing tons of sets of low reps. So at the time, it doesn't feel like you're doing that much. But then the next day, you're like, I can't stand up. What the hell happened?
You know, there's definitely a benefit to doing tons of, less likely you're going to injure yourself, right? Yeah. There's just, you know,
well, it's the idea with the, with doing a lot of sets with low reps is to focus on good quality form.
Okay, cool.
So it's been good, but it's also like at the time you're like, that doesn't feel like too bad. You're like, ah, it was good. And the next day I'm like, I can't get out of bed. My legs don't work. I ain't got no legs. So that was a wake up call. And then I just today re-downloaded Diablo 4. I played Diablo 4 for the initial release and the first season. I didn't really like the season content. I didn't really like the end game. They've just done a huge rework for season 4 that's getting very good reviews. So I figured I'm going to download it. I don't think I have to pay for the new season. I'll find out.
But it's maybe interesting you're talking about video games, man, because we just found out that GW is going to be doing, I think, their Throne Skulls. Or whatever. Basically, their little video game preview of all this upcoming stuff. I think we got a Space Marine 2 teaser.
Please give me Space Marine 2. GW here. Listen to me. I'll be a reviewer for Space Marine 2. I'll be a beta tester. I'll be a monkey. Whatever you want. Just let me play Space Marine 2. I don't care.
And then we've got that Doom equivalent. I don't know. The old school, you know, very pixelated. I don't know. That Bolt Gun. So it's always fun to see what kind of video games they're going to release. But let's just go right into industry news real fast. We've gotten this really sweet rumor engine that popped up recently in Warcom. I know we all look at Warcom. We all talk about it, right? I'm sure you saw this rumor engine. That screamed to me Demon Engine. I have no inside info on this.
Like the flesh thing with some weird thing hanging off its face?
Yeah, come on, dude. That was a demon. That's like Vastor's something, right? Come on, that's got to be.
Vastor's bro Jim.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Aventura, right? Right. It just really seemed like that's got to be a Demon Engine. Seth, did you think that too or no?
Yeah, I mean, I could believe that. I really like Vastor very much. Is like dark mech Demon Forge stuff. We have like a, you know, we've seen the Chaos Space Marine previews. We've put our videos up. There is like a Demon Engine detachment in there. So I definitely think there could be more coming on that front.
You know what we actually for sure 1000% know is happening is the new mission pack. This has been announced as of today, Wednesday. Well, when we're recording, it is official. It's public. I don't feel comfortable speaking into about it too much, but Seth, we've gotten some things that have been previewed publicly today.
And I am super happy to talk about it in your stead, Kicker, because I'm super excited for this. So
I mean, you just touched base on something that's critical, though. The value of battle line troops. That's a big thing.
Yes. So importantly, they're reworking multiple components of the mission deck, and it is the Pariah deck that's going to replace the Leviathan deck. So the mission rules, and to be fair, in the match play, like competitive tournament setting, we don't use a lot of the mission rules. It's mostly like Chilling Rain, Chosen Battlefield, or Hidden Supplies. But they're putting a few in there that I could and I think the reason we don't play a lot of them in the tournament setting is a lot of the other ones are kind of really wonky, like Scrambler Fields where you can't deep strike near this, and lines where it's like you have to hold your backfield to get up and get extra CP, and so it kind of unbalances things a lot. But the mission rules that they've previewed are actually very interesting because they benefit battle line units. And right now, the only benefit to being battle line in 40K is that you can be 6 units battle line
versus 3
per data sheet. That's it. There's no other benefit. So it's interesting that they're putting some mission rules in that might benefit battle line. And if they are part of the normal tournament packet, which I assume since there's a Leviathan tournament compendium, like companion, there's probably going to be a Pariah Nexus one as well. Makes sense. But one of them is basically a rule where battle line units can raise banners on objectives to generate additional victory points. Another one is allowing one battle line unit to more or less come out of strat reserve on turn one. There's a point cap on that, but those are both things that kind of definitely make me consider I need to put more battle line stuff in my army because it might be more important for me to have.
And if you look at armies, the current armies, no one takes battle line unless people take battle line, but there has to be a reason to take battle line, like a benefit. Maybe it's pointed accord. So it makes armies suddenly seem a little bit more, I don't want to use the word normal, but realistic if they have the basic grunts.
Well, it's an interesting balancing mechanic because rarely is a battle line unit the broken unit in a codex.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they're incentivizing us to take some of the more balanced units. They also previewed a new primary mission called Terraform, which is essentially doing actions on objectives to gain additional CP. And they importantly, they have kind of brought back the action rule. It is parentheses action, which is something from 9th edition that we had, that we sort of had here in the beginning of 10th edition, but it wasn't officially called an action. So now they've kind of redefined that. So they kind of cleaned up the wording there. They've shown us another secondary, and they have mentioned that they're going to be going through and balancing a bunch of stuff, but they're showing us some new ones. This new secondary is marked for death. This one could be kind of swingy, I think, because essentially if you kicker, you and I are playing and you're going to play guard in this scenario, I draw mark for death. You get to pick three of your units and I have to try to kill one of them. If you're like a castle and guard army, you're going to pick the three things in the back that I can't punch.
Basilisk back there, you're never going to see.
So that certainly is an interesting one. It can be a little unbalanced. Now the big change, the thing that I am actually super excited for, is the secret missions. They basically got rid of gambits. Don't exist anymore. And to be frank, Kicker, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone ever take a gambit in 40K.
I don't think anyone has ever taken a gambit.
I've heard of it happen once or twice. I've personally never seen it.
Gambit sounds like a good name for like a dog. It doesn't sound like something you should have in a mission.
Or an X-Men.
Or an X-Men. Right. Good call. Yep. But seriously though, I don't think anyone ever took gambits ever. I mean, it was just never
Idea behind gambits was a good idea. The idea behind them was, you and I are playing, I'm behind, and no, I'm losing the primary. I'm going to do something else to make up those points, but it's an all or nothing bet.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea, but it just the bar that you had to hit was way too high. So the secret missions,
gambits were randomized, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Gambits were randomly.
Gambits were randomized. You would get three of the four as options, and so you also couldn't plan on it. Secret missions are not randomized. You have all four secret missions every time. You do have to be either tied for primary or behind on primary to be able to use one. And importantly, before, if you took a gambit, you stopped scoring primary and then you just scored your gambit points. This still allows you to score primary, but only to 20 points primary using the main mission of the round, rule. But you can also get 20 points for completing your secret mission, and you don't reveal your secret mission, hence the name. So that does mean that you're going to be at most only getting 40 points out of that category rather than the 50 you could get if you just scored normally in the primary mission. Now, looking at the four that they've previewed four of them. I'm not going to go through them here. You folks can read them on their website just as well as I can. It's Command Insertion, War of Attrition, Shatter Cohesion, and Unbroken Wall. Three of those, I think, are very doable. Mm-hmm. The only one that I don't think is super easy to do is War of Attrition, but that just depends on your army comp and your opponent's army comp to an extent. But the other three are very doable, and I could see being played a lot of times where you know you're behind, but you're like, you know what? I'm behind, but I think I can get one of these done at the end of the game. For instance, Command Insertion has to have your Warlord on the objective. I've been running Ghazghal lately. That boy just stomps across the field and he's invulnerable for the entire game. Yeah. And so if my goal is to get Ghazghal on your backfield objective, I'm like, yeah, I probably could do that by the end of this game. And so, you know, that's a very reasonable thing for me to try to
do. And you could also psych out your opponent too, right? They can think, oh, he's trying to get his Warlord to the thing. And you're like, nope, that's not actually
that's the one I took. I took Shatter Cohesion instead. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, well. Shit. I think it's very interesting that these are easier to achieve than the gambits were, but they're also not as many points as gambit were. So there is it's lower risk for me to do them, but it's also lower reward. But there still could be scenarios where you're like, you know what? I think I can knock Kicker's secondary game out and he won't be able to score secondaries. I'll be able to score secondaries and I'll catch up by doing the secret mission.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. I can't wait to get my hands on this deck. I'm super excited to kind of get some new missions going and get some new rules and kind of spice up the tournament life.
Yes. And as of right now, it is not public when this will be dropping.
It is a few months, whatever that means.
So sit tight, people. Yep. All right. Let's talk really briefly on some of the event news we've got going. We've got BAO next week, people. You should be in BCP. If you're not in BCP, please reach out to myself at events@frontlinegaming.org or our head judge. You really should be in BCP. We ask you to upload your list. We'd hate for you to miss out on that. Yeah. BAO, like I said, is next week starting on Saturday.
We will be doing our preview show next week, I believe.
Yes, definitely be doing the preview show. There will be some pretty solid players there to talk about. So anyway, BAO next week, that'll be our topic for next week. ACO, guys, we just wanted to say we've added BattleTech. Yay. and MCP is gotten massive there. I didn't realize MCP had such a massive following in the Northeast, but it looks like MCP is going to be a great turnout there. And of course, 40K, that's going to be nice. That's going to be probably our largest event outside of Vegas in terms of the 40K turnout. Lone Star Open, guys, the high roller package did sell out. That was the ticket that includes a bunch of swag. That is sold out. We still have some standard tickets. I think we got like 20 more standard tickets left, but don't miss out. And if you're going to the website and you see sold out, it is just the high roller package that is gone. Oh, and we've got a couple new vendors that have signed up. So there'll be raffles. Basically, if you're military, you're going to be getting entered into a bunch of raffles to win free stuff. And everyone, especially, loves free stuff. Finally, guys, who doesn't love free stuff, right? LVO, guys. The Room Block is finally live. I've been getting bombarded by international people saying, I've got my plane ticket. I know when the event is happening, but I need my room. So we released the Room Block earlier. Traditionally, we release the Room Block at the same time as tickets, but we have gotten more and more and more international people come to the LVO, and they buy their plane tickets well in advance. So they've asked very politely and respectfully to release the Room Block, which we have done. The Room Block, some of the nights have already sold out, but we added some more room. We're adding more rooms to those nights. But it's like, wow, geez, I was surprised that it's going that fast. I know that there's pros and cons about the Rio, and there's a lot of, people that have had some negative experiences with the Rio, but the Rio is under new ownership. They were under new ownership at the beginning of, basically right before LVO in 2024. And they've had a lot of time now to grow it. And by the time we get to LVO 2025, I believe most, if not all, of the rooms will be fully renovated. They've added more food options. The whole protocol in terms of checking in, checking out has gotten easier. So it's only getting better and better every single year. So I hope to see you staying on site. Plus, it helps make this event feasible, because seriously, guys, we need you to stay on site. It really will allow this event to keep on happening. Seth, you got any news that you want to share? Anything going on in your world? Anything that I might have missed out on?
Well, we do have Nikki D's nerd news, and I have news to share. Because I was discussing things with Nikki D pre-show, and Kicker and I just learned, unfortunately, sit down if you're listening, folks.
Yeah.
Nikki D has not seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, don't judge him too harshly, guys, but what the what the hell?
I mean, it is only one of the best shows
The best.
One of the few things that I could call a perfect show, Nikki D, and you haven't seen it.
I've seen it the entire series twice, all right? Like
Better Call Saul?
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. Yeah. And Better Call Saul, a lot of people haven't watched it, and I know it starts off a little slow, but get through the first season, and then it's just like, oh, this is amazing. You just got to get through that
first season. It's very good.
Yeah. So I'm not opposed to it, and like I'm aware of the concept of the show and Walter White, and it's selling drugs, meth, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was my job legally, professionally, as a pharmacist.
Nikki D. Do you have a Netflix subscription?
I do. Yeah. So
then you're going sick. I know what you're doing now. Go watch Breaking Bad.
Got it. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well,
now that I've hijacked the nerd news, did you have any nerd news for us, Nikki D?
Yeah. So if the last roughly 30, 36 hours, there have been some major nerd related TV show trailers that have dropped. I'm going to list the three of them, and you guys let me know if you interested in these? Are you intrigued? Are you planning to watch, or is it just a big nothing burger to you? So first one, and this was actually the first one. I'll go through them like when they dropped chronologically. First one, it'll be Amazon Prime, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power Season 2. Second one was released about 30 minutes later, HBO House of the Dragon Season 2. And then actually this one was released on Wednesday morning, Dune Prophecy on HBO. This is one, I mean, the others are Season 2, right? So a continuation of a story. Dune Prophecy is actually a prequel to the Dune series. It's actually it's supposed to be, as I understand it, somewhat of an origin story of the Bene Gesserit. I have not watched the trailer for that one yet myself. I will probably do that tonight when I'm done editing the show. But guys, thoughts, these three series.
Okay, yes, first of all, do we know when they're going live? I know House of Dragon, because that's of interest. That's
all
going
this
June
year.
16th. Oh, yep. Okay, so House of Dragon, though, is next month. Like, that's June.
House of Dragon, and Kicker, that's a good question. So House of the Dragon is coming out in June. Lord of the Rings, I believe it's coming out in August, and then Dune, I think, is later on in the fall. But these are all series that are coming out in 2024 calendar year.
All right, let's start off with the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. Seth, yay, nay, what are you thinking? Yeah, big thumbs down from Seth. Nick, what are your thoughts, man?
I'm going to watch it. Like, Lord of the Rings is pretty much my all-time favorite, so I'm going to watch it.
Did you see the first season, though?
Ugh. I did. I had my gripes with it, but I also I enjoyed it. That might just be I'm a sucker for that, you know, fantasy setting and some of those characters. So I had my gripes. Understand why people didn't like it, but I will watch season two.
So I am a sucker for the fantasy setting too. I mean, we all love Lord of the Rings, but I didn't. But I'm not like a fluff hardcore, you know, lore. I don't care about any of that. I just want to be entertained, and I was not entertained by it. I just felt it was too slow, and I just couldn't get in. I don't know. Was not excited to finish that. Like, I finished the entire season, but I was just like, ah, really? Come on. All right. So high hopes for season two. We'll see what happens. Do you think there's going to be some sort of redeeming value for season two, Nick?
Like, I'm hoping so. Otherwise, it won't be great use of my time.
I mean, do you think that maybe they're going to like have a cool, more like, I always hope that when they release a season two, they like learn from season one. Maybe they're like, maybe we have more action, or maybe like people really like this character, not that character, so we follow their story.
Yeah, certainly there was a lot of pushback from fans for different elements of the first season of the show. So that part, I'm hopeful that they're going to take some of that feedback into account. It's been, they've had some time to develop that part of, you know, into season two. So I'm hopeful.
All right. Well, so we've got this, like, you know, I guess the term would be like high fantasy Lord of the Rings. What about, like, I guess dark, grim, bloody, violent fantasy, which is, you know, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. Seth, what do you think? Did you see the first season?
Begin, thumbs down.
Oh, all right, Nick, what do you think, man?
I watched the first season of House of the Dragon, and part of House of the Dragon season one, a lot of people didn't like it because they didn't like some of the motives or like thoughts behind the characters. That's part of the thing, is that like these are supposed to be crazy people. Yeah. Like, you're not really supposed to like them. They're supposed to be kind of weak-minded. And that's what ends up leading to this giant war. And when you've got crazy slash dumb slash incestuous people like all mixed together, and they have dragons as weapons, like, it's going to get really nasty. So that part there, House of Dragon, it's like Rings of Power. I'm going to watch season two. There are certainly things that I hope they do somewhat differently, but a lot of the negative remarks about season one, I thought was kind of supposed to be the point that, like, hey, yeah, these people are crazy and they're not very thinking very smart. That's what leads to this downfall. So that's my
thought. I mean, I was entertained, right? And so I watched TV to be entertained, and I was entertained with the season one. I mean, plus there's just a little bit more of action and violence, and you know, the dragons are cool, you know, so it's
kicker. The last thing I'll say about House, the thing that's disappointing for season two is that the actor Patty Considine, who plays the king in season one of the best performances I think I've seen in recent TV history for like sci-fi fantasy series.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he dies in season one. So like, that's the part there where, you know, him not being in season two, that part for me is a bit of a letdown, just because he was so darn good.
Yeah, that's a shame. All right, finally, we got this new Dune prequel, whatever we're going to call it, origin story. Seth, I know you bought the popcorn tub. Yeah. All right. We know you're a Dune fan.
I'm in for it. I actually, conveniently enough, today Amazon was having a sale on like 4K Blu-rays, and I picked up a copy of Dune Part 1. So yeah, I'm in for it.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Nick, any insight? So you think it's about Bene Gesserit, origin story? And you're going to watch the trailer, report back next week, but you're obviously in, right? I mean,
The Dune book series is one of my favorites. Admittedly, I've read like just like the main series, haven't read a lot of the side stories either by Frank Herbert or by his son. So the concept of the story, like what it's going into, it's an era or an element of Dune and its history that I don't really know much about, aside from just some of the lengthy conversations you get in the course of the books into some of their history. So this is one where I'm genuinely interested in seeing where it goes, for sure.
So say what you want about episode 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars, but I thoroughly enjoyed them because I like to know the history of the universe that I love, right? I love Dune. I want to know how we got to Dune. So even, you know, so his story is in the background. That just, I don't know. I'm all about that. I really hope to go a little bit more into you say in the Bene Gesserit. That sounds interesting, but I like to also know about, what is it? The super soldiers? What are they called? They come on the hardcore. Oh my gosh, the bad guy soldiers. I can't even remember the name.
Harkonnen.
The Harkonnen. Yeah, the Space Marine prototypes. I don't know what you want to call them. I don't know. I want to learn more about Dune and origin stories, especially a TV series seems like the perfect place to do it. Sweet. I did want to report back to you guys. I have some very terrible news to tell you. Unfortunately, I have been let down by Halo Season 2, even worse than Halo Season 1. I went in really like, oh, come on. It's got to be better than Season 1. There's a couple good action scenes, but other than that, I'm like, what are they doing with this?
Just look, Fallout set doing? The new standard for a video game TV show.
Yeah. I mean, it's just bad. So just, all right, that's all I want to say. Don't watch Halo. It's just going to destroy your childhood video game
got
memories.
Got it.
All right. Let's go into our main segment, Seth.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to be jumping over to an interview that we just did for our Champions Cup Club Corner. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a second. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Champions Cup Club Corner segment from Singles from the Frontline. For folks that are watching this, it's part of our main show, but we're also going to take it and clip it out and put it out as a separate segment. This is our recurring segment where we are interviewing some of the teams coming to the Champions Cup, the, what is it, 64-8-man team event occurring this September, right, Kicker?
Yes, the inaugural Champions Cup will be this September, held in Texas, the same venue that we do the LSO. We've got 64 different teams made up of clubs from around the country. And Seth, why don't you make the announcement? Who do we have here tonight?
So Hollow Kicker there set us up very well. Tonight, I'm super excited to have on the show tonight a member of the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen, in fact, the captain of that team. He is a Warhammer legend, and he is the TO behind the Battle to End Alzheimer's, J.C. Watts. Welcome to the show, J.C.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
J.C. Watts. J.C. Watts, you are out there in the community. Not only do you, I guess, spearhead this club, the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen out of the East Coast, but J.C., is it true? Are you a Warhammer hero as well?
I am. I was informed about a month ago that I guess – A couple of my team members and some other people from the community nominated me, and I was picked.
Yeah, congrats, dude! Congrats, and that was for your for many reasons, I'm sure, but primarily for your Battle to and Alzheimer's event, right?
Yeah, it's been a huge success, and looks like it's been getting the attention it deserves.
So, for folks that don't know, that's a recurring event that JC runs every year. Usually, it's out of Westminster. Is that right? Tables and Towers.
Yeah, I think we hit our cap. So we're about to do a contract for a new venue. So if you haven't seen my 80 million posts on all the community pages, you'll start seeing them soon. But it's going to be bigger than ever this year. And I'm pretty stoked.
Yep. And you guys, you use those events to raise money through a number of different means, raffles, giveaways, competitions, and of course, ticket entries for Alzheimer's research. And how much money have you guys raised over the last few years on that, JC?
So we're at around 70,000 total in 3 years.
Amazing.
Congratulations, man. That's amazing.
And Seth, you missed the most important way we raise money. I also let people hit me with pies.
That's true. You can pay to use the pie booth and pie people. I believe they do have to be willing recipients of a pie. Is that correct?
Correct, because I'm pretty sure otherwise it's assault.
So. Yeah, I went 2 years ago, I think it was. Yeah. And I remember someone, I think Anthony Vanilla pied TJ Lanigan and did that with some incredible force, like whipped cream shot with velocity past TJ.
So JC, we need to know a little bit about, not just you now, but we need to know about the club that you run, that you're the captain of, and you guys of course are participating in the Champions Cup. Dude, how did the Legion, and do you guys just call yourself the Legion, or do you go use the full name, the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Can I just call you Legion? Is that okay?
Yeah, we usually use Legion for short, right?
So how did the Legion form? I mean, what is your history? What was the original founding, the first founding? Give us a little bit of history on you guys.
So that's actually a really funny question. I started playing 40K in 2014. There was a local store that I started going to that a guy who worked there got me to join their Facebook group page for organizing Warhammer, which just so happened to be called Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And it was a couple guys, one of which is Seth, organized that. I thought it was pretty cool. They had like banners on the wall of like their factions and wins. So we used that for a year or two to organize or, you know, the organized games. And then I showed up to a tournament one day, and they used this app I'd never heard of called BCP. So they had me register, and the guy's like, okay, well, what's your club name? I was like, what? He's like, come on, everybody's got a club. You have to have a club name. And I, panicking, I just reached, and I was like, Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So we put that in, and then 2 months later, we went to the Nova Open, which is when Seth and I actually met for the first time. This is back in, like, 2017 or 18. My buddy with Mike, who was with me and who's basically my co-captain at this point, he was like, well, what do we put for this club thing? I was like, I don't know, man. I used Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen for an Age of Sigmar thing 2 months ago. And that was it, man. We went to Nova. We had a great time. We realized competitive 40K was a lot more fun than we thought it was. And as we started going to more and more stores and meeting people, we invited them, started inviting them to join.
And correct me if I'm wrong. So you clearly have some history with Seth. Good history, wonderful history. That's wonderful. Is it true that Nikki D, our own tech priest in the background, our old mechanic, is on your team? Is that true?
Not only is Nikki D a member of our club, he's actually a member of our roster for the Champions Club team.
Oh wow! All right,
that makes him my adversary now.
Oh, geez, you're going to be breaking up the signals crew. We'll all be at the Champions Cup, but we'll all be waving different banners. All right. So, JC, how many people are currently active in your club? I mean, roughly.
I'd say we have about, I think it's like, I did a count the other day. It's around 18 or 19 guys.
Oh, wow. Cool. So yeah, you have one roster of 8 guys going to represent at Champions Club. Yep. That's great. And out of the 18, 19. Sweet. I got to ask, dude, because you've got enough people. How are you prepping? Are you doing like half your club versus the other half, kind of battling it out? Are you doing any, other tournaments to maybe prep for this big 8-man tournament?
So we're all trying to make sure to go to just events over the summer to get ready. Another club in the area who they weren't able to do Champions Club, but they want to get practice doing team events. Yeah. They've asked us, so we're going to try and do some mock 8v8s with them.
Oh, cool.
Set it up on Discord and meet up and play games. We're pretty close to the guys from Team Battle Brothers. I'm going to see if I can try to organize something with them over the summer.
Oh, that's a smart idea, yeah.
Just to try to get pairings down. We spend every Thursday night, as Nick knows, we try to do practice night. And
do you have like a home base? Is that Tables and Towers or someone's garage, or where's base camp for you guys?
We rotate. There's Castle Watts, which is my living room. We use that.
You name your living room? I love it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have a Frontline Gaming table, there. Yeah. We rotate stores. So because we all live kind of spread out over Maryland, so 1 week we'll do Tables, 1 week we'll do a store called Titan, 1 week we'll do Critical Hit. So we keep it rotating, so it's fair for everybody.
Very cool. I love the idea of you guys getting in a round or two against Team Battle Brothers there. That'd be very
I haven't asked them yet, so well, hopefully this will.
Team Battle Brothers, right, how's it going? Maybe you want to help the guys Legion out.
Gauntlet thrown down challenge. All right, sweet JC. Well, JC, you said you got about 18, 19 players on your club, and you got, of course, your 8-man roster. Who are the people to watch? Who are your star players, and what are they running?
What they're running, it's kind of hard, right? We have a data slate coming. We have a couple of codexes coming out. So I can't really say that yet. If it was up to me, I'd be playing my Salamanders. Whether or not that's the case, probably won't. We do have, like I mentioned earlier, Michael Agner. He's my co-captain.
Yeah.
He's a notorious Tau player. He's very good with them. He's won a couple bigger events with them. We've got Ken Knox, who's the organizer of the Maryland Open, who's also a good Tau player. He also plays Necrons very well. And then we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Anthony Birdsong, is joining us. Hopefully he'll have his orcs. Because that, if you haven't seen that army, it's like my favorite army in 40K.
I've seen it before. It is a very gorgeous army.
It's really cool.
The other thing that's important with Anthony Birdsong is he has, I think, all the armies. So he's a strong flex player. We'll call it that. He can flex into most anything.
Wow. Very cool. And you're going to have to tell us, JC, do you have an idea what our signals partner in crime is? What is he running? Do you have plans for him?
Yeah.
What's Nikki D running?
I have like a little spreadsheet of like what I have, my ideas for what people are going to be playing. And currently Nick is listed as IDK Chaos?
Heresy.
You know, well, we'll see.
Bad guys. Sweet, right. Man. Well, thank you so much. Seth is going to take us out, JC. We're excited to have you at the Champions Cup in September, and I'm sure we'll talk before that.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Well, JC, thank you so much for coming on. We're excited to have the Legion there. I'm personally very happy to see the team represented, although I'm not playing for you guys this year, but I'm still very happy for you guys. But thank you, folks, for watching. If you want to check out more information, head on over to the Signals of the Frontline YouTube channel. We've got plenty of other interviews with the other teams coming up. We've already done one, and there's going to be plenty more coming. Check out the main show. But until next time, we really hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you on the frontline. All right, and welcome back. Thanks, JC, for doing that interview. We really enjoyed talking to you, so thanks for coming on. I know it's not always easy getting on these shows, but we're glad to have you, man. So let's hop on over to our community spotlight. We do have a shout-out. Now, I'm going to read it. This is actually Kicker. Kicker, this is his shout-out, but I'm reading it for him because Kicker is technologically challenged currently. So this is the War Games for Warriors. This is the Utah Wargaming Community's annual and largest charity event. Raises funds for the Fisher House Foundation and Children's Hospitals of Salt Lake City. And the event is the first weekend in June. If I remember correctly, this is also one of the first events that Joe from War Games live streamed.
Yeah, and I believe Joe will be there again this year. It's a great event. The community as a whole comes together to make this happen. So it's like the kind of that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's the whole community in Utah coming together, put this together. And you're doing it for charity. So if you guys might know Mario, he's kind of the guy that spirits it. Mario's just a really active community member out of that part of the country. So this is kind of his big event that he does in addition to the Salt Lake Open, which is later in the year. So yeah, guys, go check it out if you can. It's for charity.
All right. And we did have a couple questions for the show this week. If you want to ask us a question for the show, join us on our Discord. Remember, you can just find the link to join the Discord at the description below. And every week I do put up a thread for show questions. This week we have a couple questions from Kelsey, one of our active members in the Discord. The first one is, how do you form a team? Pick players, then factions, identify factions, and then players that are experts in those factions or focus on a play style. So I think at this point I'm on multiple teams now for team events. Nick is on the Legions team with JC. Kicker, are you on a team for a team event this year?
I'm not on a team. I am trying to get to go play a team event with the new club that just invited me later.
Lightly Salted. Well, Lightly Salted, you got to get Kicker involved.
Well, I can't play in Champions Cup. I'm working that. So I would love to.
There are other team events, Kicker.
There are other team events. And I think there's one or two in California that I hope to go to, but I'm currently not. But right. How do you pick out your team for – like, how do you create a roster? That's a great question, right?
So, yeah, I've joined or been asked to join three different teams this year. And all of them were different processes. So the team event that I'm going to this weekend – I actually formed that team. I'm not the captain of that team, but I saw there was a team event in Valdosta, which is about 3-4 hour drive from me. I knew that I had some friends in Atlanta that love playing team events. I reached out to them and said, and I reached out to just one guy I know I liked playing with, Joe McMillan. And I said, Joe, do you want to be on a team? And Joe said, yeah. And then we were like, well, who else? And just every time we added a guy, it was like, well, who else should we ask? And we basically just asked guys that we knew we enjoyed playing with. Now, that being said, we also knew that for the most part, we all had pretty broad experience with 40K. And so we could pivot to other factions so that we could all work together and make a cohesive team. But we really kind of focused on picking players that we enjoyed playing with. And then the summer I'm playing on a 5-man ATC team for Cornfield Carnage, which is a group from the Midwest. They had played at other team events this year. They already had a team and they approached me because one of their players wasn't going to be able to make it. And so they just needed someone to jump in. They knew I was interested in playing team events. And they also knew that they didn't have anyone playing orcs. So that kind of worked out there. And then for Vanguard Tactics, we formed a team based on who we knew was going to be able to travel to Champions Cup, because that is kind of one of the important things to consider when forming a team, is who's actually going to be able to travel to your events. And then our team captain, which is actually not Stephen Box. Stephen Box is not the captain on the, like, he's the captain of the club and the whole program, but he's not running the team, so to speak. He's on the team, but he's left the administration and that to another member in that, Nick Kiever. And Nick kind of went through and was like, okay, this is what everyone's possible factions are. And then we've been talking internally like, hey, we don't have anyone playing this faction. We've got a few months if someone wants to start getting reps and learning that faction in case that's something we want to bring. So we've been identifying, you know, areas of overlap and trying to get us onto other factions to help in that scenario. So I think generally speaking, we look for in all three areas, we almost look for players first and then faction second.
But I think you got something really important that you said, you know, multiple times is people you want to play with. Like yeah. These are people you're going to be spending your free time with. You want to hang out with people you actually like.
Yeah. And it's not just at the event. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be talking weeks, months before the event. You're going to be maybe doing practice with the guys or sitting in voice chat. You're going to be talking lists with them. So like, these are people you're going to spend a lot of time talking to. You better like hanging out and talking to them.
Yeah. Right. Jeez.
Yeah. So. I think that's kind of the main motivator. Nikki D, what's your experience been?
Yeah, so I have not done 5 or 8 man team events myself, but I've done doubles, trios, events of various formats. And the biggest thing that I've thought about, and even, you know, my own experience with the planning for Champions Cup for Legion that JC is leading, travel logistics, like who's going to commit, who can really commit is the biggest thing. And by the way, if your team is uncertain or if you want to go and you don't have a team, we can help you with that, right, Kicker? We've got a mercenary sign up, which you can find in the Discord as well. So be sure to check that out for Champions Cup. But basically having somewhat of a back roster. Beyond that, I think it does come down to what's the play style. And even just, you know, not to give out kind of too much information, but even as it goes to, you know, planning for Champions Cup, my item and my conversation with JC has been, I like to play aggressive armies. Now, when it comes to a skill level, I am not the most skilled player on the team, but as long as you give me, you know, an aggressive army that I can play and play, doesn't really matter if it's the army that I know all the way in and out, doesn't necessarily need to be Blood Angels or Monster Mash Demons. Give me something that can play in that sandbox. I will play my butt off and I'll come back with points for the team. Getting the right pieces in place there, I think, is really the key part. And then the other aspect, what is everybody's goals, right? There are some teams where, hey, if we're going to win the thing and if we don't podium, people can come back with feels bads. If people just want to go and hang out with the team and like just be part of the team experience, you know, that's an important part where you want to have everybody on the same page from planning through, you know, when everybody is flying home and are going home after the event.
Yeah, I think that is a very important point, is making sure that you are on a team that aligns with your personal goals. Because, yeah, that is also a scenario where, you know, if there's different levels of expectations on what the goals are that weekend, certainly you can have some friction in the team. So keep that in mind. All right. Kelsey's next question, and I don't know how to answer this one, is what characters from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would you be? And despite the fact that I named the Facebook page that ultimately became the club, I've never actually seen League of
Extraordinary Gentlemen. What? Come on, dude. Seriously?
So
that's such a good movie.
It was the movie that ended Sean Connery's career.
That is true. It is true. Yeah. Sean Connery stopped doing movies because he had such a bad experience with doing that movie.
Really?
But that's more so related to their... True? Yeah. Yeah. It's verified. Been verified by the knight. He is a knight, right? Sean Connery's been knighted, right?
Knight,
If he hasn't, we just knighted him here on our show.
So yeah,
deal. We have power.
Sean, come on our show. We'll have you as a guest. And but we will knight you. But I really enjoy that movie. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure for me, but like I've watched it a bunch. Maybe it's just that it came out in those early 2000s when I was that right age for like sci-fi fantasy type of stuff. I did love Sean Connery's character, Alan Quartermain. He's kind of just like general superhuman adventurer, not much more than that, but I really liked him. And then actually Dorian Gray, who is like in fictional books, he's the man who becomes like immortal because he gets cursed by a painting, but he's also like this experienced duelist. Those are probably my two favorite characters.
Yeah. I mean, I love Sean Connery in basically anything he's ever at. And so it's hard for me to say not him, regardless of what his character's superpowers are. But I definitely appreciate I think we were talking about this earlier, the all around good, the Han Solo equivalent, right? I don't need a guy with magic superpowers as much as just being, you know, and an adventurer. So yeah, that's my. What about you, Seth? Oh, you never saw the movie? Jeez.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie. I named the group. I never saw the movie.
Do you guys remember that movie? There was a geeky, funny comedy version of League of the. Do you guys remember that? It was like it had Ben Stiller in it. It was okay. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Nick's got it. All right, what is it? Come on. What is it called?
Oh. Something.
They all had like stupid superpowers and like I'm
gonna look into this. It's one of my wife's favorite movies. And I've seen it as well. Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
Oh, is that the one where Dane Cook is the waffler?
Mystery Men, though, that is quite a pull.
That was a deep cut, folks. That was a deep cut.
Yeah, right.
I think that's about it. Final thoughts for the guys.
I can't wait to get my first game in with more Croup models I've been painting and building. So I'm excited. What about you, Nick? Any games coming up for you?
Yes. Part of why I'm resting up in the med bay is so that I can be in good shape to go play in the Maryland Open this weekend. It's going to be run at Tables and Towers by Ken, who's one of the members. Actually, JC mentioned Ken as one of the top players on the team. Ken's a great judge as well, for runs very tight events. And actually, I'm very excited. I'm going to be running my Blood Angels. Of course, yeah. And I'm going to be using my Sanguinary Guard. They got a points drop in the update. And I've got some lovely Sanguinary Guard that were painted up a couple of summers ago by, you might have heard of them, the Frontline Gaming Painting Studio.
Oh, I've heard of this
and game, yeah. Yeah, you might have heard of them. They have not had a chance to play at on a table at a tournament yet. And I want to play them. So that's what we're going to do.
Nice. It seems that we're having some trouble with Kicker's Hologram, but I'm playing in the Valdosta team event this weekend. I'm excited for it. It's my first team event this season, so it's going to be a good time. I'm there to take some names and do some crumping, so it'll be a good time. I got my orcs all set to go, so I leave Friday. It'll be a good weekend. But thank you so much for joining us, folks. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Signals from the Frontline. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I'm going to remember to tell you to do that from now on. And until next time, have a great week, and we will see you on the front line.
Good night, guys.